We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, I'll bring in Ryan Wilson here. He is of CBSSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at RyanWilsonCBS. A couple of things. Number one, you will never see me do draft grades until the company puts it in my contract. I don't like it. So when I saw the way Ryan actually did draft grading, he ranked them. I loved it. I said, this is cool. It's a different way. It's not the traditional ABC. And I kind of kept scrolling down. Wait a minute. He's got the Bills pretty high. Where is he? Lo and behold, he went from 32 to 1. He had the Bills at number 7 overall. And I'm like, hey, let's just get this guy on to talk a little bit about it, because I thought it was a surprising draft for the Bills. But they addressed, I think, areas that to keep the train moving, so to speak, going forward. And I know Ryan, you know, obviously likes some of their picks, which is why we're going to talk to him right now. He is of CBS Sports and host of the Pick 6 pod. So, Ryan, it's Howard and Sal. Welcome in on the Western Hotline.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
By the way, your bio says upstate New York is where you reside. Now, do you consider Buffalo upstate New York? I'm not asking if you even live here. I'm just asking you, do you consider Buffalo, because a lot of people consider Western New York upstate New York?
Yeah, no, Buffalo's Western New York. I'm actually in Central New York. I'm just outside of Syracuse. So I just
there you go.
Use the broader upstate New York term just to keep the people who get super angry at you about the draft, keep them off the scent.
I get it. All right, so tell us why you ranked the Bills as the 7th best draft class in the NFL this year.
So you sort of touched on it, Sal. So typically you see these draft grades come out the next day, and they're A through F. And, you know, you're basically saying, okay, this team filled these needs, they get an A. This team did not fill these needs, they get a DF or whatever. And what I did was I spent, you know, a lot of time from the draft guy, so I watch all these guys. So I watched 300 or something guys before the draft. I put a grade on where I thought they might go, and then I said, let's see how it looks if I'm the GM compared to where these guys actually went. So what I compared was where I had these guys likely to go according to my grades and where they actually went, ended up going, and the Bills did a great job. I thought that, you know, you can certainly say, wow, it's weird they took two edge rushers in back-to-back with back-to-back picks in the first and second round, but then you say, well, they need to get better at edge rushers. The guys they have there, Mario Addison and Jerry Hughes, are a little old, and their contract's going to be up soon, and that's planning for the future. I have no issue with that, but I had Gregory Rousseau with the late first-round pick. Actually, had Carlos Basham ranked a little slightly higher than him going into the bottom of the first round, so that's a full round of value there that the Bills got. I had Spencer Brown, the offensive tackle, going a little later, like the middle of fourth, but he went late third, and that's pretty close. I thought they got value on Tommy Doyle, the offensive tackle I drafted with the next round. Marquis Stevenson I had going in round 6, so that all worked out. And DeMar Hamlin actually liked a lot, the safety of Pittsburgh. I had him as a mid-fourth round guy. He went late 6th. And the only discrepancy I really had was Rashad Wild Goose, the cornerback out of Wisconsin. I thought he was probably more likely to be a priority free agent. But late 6th, I mean, it's one flavor of ice cream as opposed to the other. So I thought, all in all, compared to where I would have taken these guys, I thought the Bills did a really good job. And not only that, more importantly, they feel some need, and you can say, well, we would have loved to have gotten a running back or whatever. That was a talking point in the days leading up to the draft, perhaps even the first round. But if you're building around Josh Allen, number one, in terms of protecting them, you check that box. You got him a deep threat in Marquis Stevenson, who replaces John Brown in terms of the speedster. If you're interested in bolstering the defense, especially along the front four, and that's something that Sean McDermott certainly knows is very important throughout his career as defense coordinator, then you check those boxes as well. So I think in terms of keeping a tenuous hold, if you will, atop the AFC East, that they did everything they needed to do to make that happen.
And I've been telling people, you know, for a long time, Brandon Bean drafts best player available. He sticks to his board. And I would say this, Ryan, you know, based even on what you're saying here, is even more proof. If this draft doesn't prove to everybody that Brandon Bean does not draft for need, he drafts best player available, I don't know what else to convince you. And he even came out and said, look, we didn't think we'd draft two pass rushers back-to-back or two offensive linemen with our next two pick, but these guys are sitting there on the board, and they're going to make our team better. And when you look at the entire picture of this roster build, all of the starters are under contract even beyond 2021, except for that position. He's basically going, hey, I can just keep this thing going as long as possible. I don't have to reach for a need.
Yeah, and that to me makes a lot of sense. And I think it's sort of crazy when you sit back and think about it. I was in Cleveland for the draft, that the NFL has somehow created a spectacle out of the idea of an old dude reading a name off a card for 4 hours a day and turning that into a weekend-long soap opera and where people get so angry or so excited about what has transpired. When at the end of the day, literally, it's a job interview, and the boss is hiring a few guys to come in and make the organization better. But I think to your point, I have no issue with Rousseau and Basham being the first two guys, because how many times have you seen in the NFL you have an elite pass rusher on one side and an average guy on the other, and all you do is double team the elite guy and neutralize him? We're in a league that is a pass-happy league. You have to get after the quarterback. And, oh, by the way, this is just sort of in the back of my mind. I don't know if Brandon Bean thought about it or not. You know the Patriots aren't going to be laying on the map forever. You had your 1 year. You kicked them while they were down. They're going to be back. You got to get after whoever the quarterback's going to be. Turns out it's going to be Cam Newton and Mac Jones. Mac Jones, they moved a lot in the pocket. And maybe in the back of Brandon Bean's mind, he thought about, okay, if they have a stationary quarterback, let's find a way to harass him and make his life uncomfortable, because we know they're not going to be down very long. So, I like what they've done. They've made themselves a better football team, and they were already a really good football team. And you also have to consider outside of the division, of course, what are the Chiefs doing? The Chiefs bolster their offensive line. What are the Ravens doing? What are the other teams, Miami, for example, doing to make themselves better, teams we have to compete with to get to the Super Bowl?
Ryan, I think, you know, to Sal's point about the Bills draft and truly BPA and all that, there were no obvious holes. Maybe cornerback, too, would have been one area that the Bills would have, you know, the fans would have wanted drafted higher. But with the other three teams in the division, right, it's a little bit different. And you can look at guys that you know, they had to target, and some of them, especially the Jets, coming in and hoping to contribute right away as rookies. So let's talk about the other teams in the division, and let's just yell at Ryan collectively as a fan base for suggesting the Patriots might get off the mat quickly and making New England number one in your – come on, can you let us have more than 1 year of punch-bagging the Patriots, please?
And it's so funny, because I'm a Steelers homer for the longest time, so my issue has been with the Patriots just – ragged off the Steelers in the playoffs. So this gave me no joy to do this. But, man, they did such a great job. Mac Jones, in the most Patriots way possible, falls to them. They don't have to trade up to get him. And I knew they were taking long and hard by doing that, because they really liked him. Then they trade up for Christian Barmore, who had a first-round grade on. Then they get Ronnie Perkins, the edge rusher out of Oklahoma, who I had a late first-round, early second-round grade on. They get him late in round three. And on it goes. I'm like, okay, well, this is annoying if you're in the AFC East and you're not a Patriots fan, because they filled every need conceivable in free agency, and then they just fill the rest of the roster in the draft. We'll see how this plays out, man. And we know, you know, Bill Belichick is one that feels like he can hold a grudge, and he probably took down a lot of names last year after he was getting his pants kicked. So we'll see. But I mean, also, the Bills are a really good football team. I think it's going to be a fun rivalry going forward. I think the Jets did a pretty good job. That, you know, you got to hit on the quarterback, and you know that was the funny thing is 4 years ago now, that was the conversation. What is Brandon Bean doing trading up for quarterback Josh Allen? So we'll see what happens with Zach Wilson. Similar circumstances are coming from a smaller school, didn't play a lot of competition. You know, they had their flaws in college. Zach Wilson's in 2019, played really well last year. We'll see how that transition is for him. We knew it took Josh Allen about a year and a half to get his feet under him, and then he just took off like a rocket. And then the Dolphins, where I had them ranked? I had the Dolphins
18.
Ranked. I think they did okay.
Yeah.
18th.
Yeah, I can, Ryan, you actually are a lot lower on the Dolphins than I think most people are, including me. I thought they did a really good job, but most, you know, that I've read believe the Dolphins kind of nailed this one. Why do you not feel as strongly about that?
So they were about average on just about all their picks. And I think the issue is they got no great value, quote unquote. They didn't do a terrible job. The seventh round pick, I didn't have him getting drafted. Big deal. No issue there. Jalen Waddle makes sense. Jalen Phillips makes sense. There's an injury concern there, but still, I had him going around that range. Javon Holland, the safety, and Liam Eichenberg, the offensive tackle, actually liked. This is actually probably an above-average draft. I think teams that just got the picks right around where I had them got no value, quote-unquote. They didn't get a third-round pick, around five. They end up being looking like they're a little below average. So you're right. This is not a bad draft. They were just a victim of other teams finding value. Gotcha. In the first, second, third round.
The teams that you thought were just not good at what they did in this particular draft? I'm looking. You have the Rams. Obviously, they don't have a first round pick that can impact that. You have the Ravens. Now, the Ravens are interesting, right? Aren't the Ravens kind of like held up as this team? And even I buy into, wow, they're such a great drafting team. What if you really kind of dig into it? Maybe they're not as good as we've all thought over the last several years, and you don't have them very highly here either.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that this is just one person's grades against where they actually were drafted. Against a team of an organization full of evaluators. So I could end up being an idiot here, and we'll find out in a couple of years. But for the Ravens, so I love the Rashad Bateman pick. I had him going mid second round, but they have to get better wide receiver. I like the Tylan Wallace pick for that exact same reason. They got him, I thought, with two rounds of value. The issue I had for them were in rounds three. They had two picks. This had been Cleveland, a guard. Huge hulking human being who I thought was more a fifth round pick and went late third. And then Brandon Stevens, the cornerback out of SMU, I thought he was more a seventh round pick. He went late third. But here's the other thing that I don't take into consideration because I don't know where these players are going. And this was the issue I had with the cornerback that the Cowboys took in round three, Nashawn Wright. I don't know what scheme fit is going to be for these players because I don't know where they're going. So Dan Quinn, the new defensive coordinator in Dallas, loves tall, long cornerbacks, and that's what Nashawn Wright is. He isn't particularly fast, but he fits what they want to do. So he wasn't even on my radar as a potential destination in Dallas, and I dinged him for it. But we'll see if it works out. But sometimes that's, you know, you certainly can't take that into consideration. The Rams, I had them ranked really low. Didn't have a ton of draft picks, as you mentioned, but they took Tutu Atwell, the wide receiver, with their very first pick. And here's the deal with Tutu Atwell. He's 149. That's incredibly light for an NFL wide receiver. But you also have Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, just signed DeSean Jackson. Where's Tutu Atwell going to play when you have knees on both sides of the ball? So that was my issue with what they did there. But they do a lot with a little. So I give them credit for still being a good football team, but I just didn't love what they did in this draft, at least at the top of it.
We're with Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. You can read his article on the rankings for the NFL draft. Kansas City. Let me ask you about the Chiefs. And maybe this is a little bit like the Bills discussion in terms of, you know, huge thing to fill. When you look at their class, is there anybody in that group? We know they made big moves to redo their offensive line via trade, via free agency. But in their overall draft class, Ryan, is there anybody you look at that you think at least as a rookie would not necessarily need to contribute, but can make them better as a rookie?
Yeah, there are a lot of guys. And I was actually surprised at how well they did because they traded out of the first round. No, they didn't. They traded that first-round pick. So they have a Orlando Brown, if you want to consider that their first-round pick. That aside, Nick Bolton, the linebacker, they needed help there. He was a first-round talent. They got him in the bottom of round two. He's going to come in and contribute right away. Creed Humphrey was one of the best centers in this class. He's going to start right away. Trey Smith, the guy that got at the bottom of round six, was in the day two conversation. He had some medical issues, but if those are all clear, now you get a day two guy that can contribute right away. And probably my favorite pick was Cornell Powell out of Clemson. I liked him in the middle of the third round. He went late round five. And he's basically going to fill in for what Sammy Watkins did. Great season last year at Clemson. 1 year productivity, but he took advantage of that 1 year with Trevor Lawrence. So, they checked every box, and then they went back and checked him again. So we talked about it. You have to get better in a conference in which the Chiefs are the team to beat. And I thought the Bills did that, but the Chiefs weren't slouching around. They saw what happened in the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes taking that beating, and they went out and addressed those needs right away, and then they put some more playmakers around them, which is the last thing you want to see if you're another team in the AFC.
Yeah.
And when we talk about, you know, the gap, basically, I think that it was pretty clear at the end of the year last year it was the Chiefs. There's a bit of a gap. There's the Bills. There's another bit of a gap. And then there's this whole group of teams, I guess, whoever you want to put in, you know, with that group. Where do you see that now, and do you agree with that, first of all, and do you think either of those gaps have closed, if that's the case, either between one and two or between two and which is a bunch of teams at three?
No, I think that's right. I think, you know, the Titans went ugly, and they feel like they're only a hair's width away from having it all implode, and their defense has to get better, and I'm not sure they did that as much as they needed to. I think it's the Chiefs, it's the Bills. I think the Patriots have certainly made up some ground. We'll see what the quarterback situation looks like. I think the Ravens are there. I think the Browns and Ravens, there's a chance the Browns will be better than the Ravens in that division, and that's not even a hot take. They're a really good football team that have built themselves with young players. I'm interested to see what the Chargers do. I love Justin Herbert. They got their offensive line better. They have playmakers. Their defense will be better. And the last thing I'll mention is this. I would throw Denver in the mix with one huge asterisk. Aaron Rodgers needs to be in Denver. If that happens, or somehow Aaron Rodgers finds his way to Miami, then I think that's going to be a fun storyline to watch, unless you're a Packers fan. But it certainly feels like Aaron Rodgers has played his last game in Green Bay. And if he lands somewhere like Denver, or I know which has been a talking point, or Miami, which is just me thinking about him going to a team that has everything but a quarterback at this point, then things really get interesting in terms of who is going to be included in that 1A tier after Kansas City.
Not sure how much fun it would be around here either. I live my one of the credos in my life is always look for the easy way out. So Rodgers in the division would be a great storyline, but I'll be honest with you, that's not how I live my life. I actually, my final thing I want to ask you, Ryan, is about the rookie quarterbacks, the guys that went in the first round. When you look at those five, and maybe, you know, who knows who starts right away as a rookie, Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Fields, Jones. When you look at those five, who do you think is in the best spot to succeed long term? Not necessarily come in, play right away, but weapons, coaching. Boy, this is a good situation for this kid to be in going forward. Who would it be?
I think it's probably Trey Lance. And Trey Lance, I think, was surprised a lot of people that went number three, not because he doesn't have the ability to play quarterback, he's a top 20 pick, but because he played one game in the last 400-plus days. He plays FCS. He played in an offense that averaged him throwing the ball 16 times a year. And he only threw 130-something passes in high school. Just not a lot of reps. So the physical tools are off the charts. His mental game is supposedly off the charts. And if you're going to allow him to grow into an offense, you want it to be Kyle Shanahan's offense. So I think he probably has the best chance for long-term success, even if you put maybe every one of those quarterbacks at the top five we talked about there. If they all went to San Francisco, maybe it's still Trey Lance. But I think that's an opportunity for him to perhaps play around Jimmy Garoppolo, who now has a problem with going anywhere, and let him grow into that role. Because Shanahan knows what he likes. He'll work with it, and he'll make something happen. And I feel, look, Garoppolo was okay. He was never great. He helped his team get to the Super Bowl, and I think Shanahan wants that next step. I'm most concerned about, I mean, Zach Wilson's an obvious concern, but I'm more concerned about Justin Fields and what happens in Chicago, whether the GM Ryan Pace and the coach Matt Nagy are putting themselves in a situation where they have to win now because their jobs, they throw Justin Fields out there, and he just takes a beating. Like his David Carr for the Texans in 2002. Yeah. That's my biggest concern. There could have been better landing spots for him, but he could make the most of it as well and save Bears fans from their annual anguish in December and January.
You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan Wilson CBS. He does the Pick Six Pod. I believe Will Brinson is on that as well. Friend of the show sometimes as well. Mm-hmm. He's come on with us, so he's on there, and I've listened to it. It's a great Chris Trapasso, Chris is a good golfer, by the way. I've golfed with Chris, so next time you talk with him, you can mention that as well. I don't know if you golf or not, but Chris is very, very good, as well as talking about the NFL draft. One final question before you go. We've been talking about the NFL schedule release on Wednesday night. The Bills are one of eight possibilities to open the season at Tampa on that Thursday night. It seems like most believe either Buffalo or Dallas. I could still see New Orleans with that storyline post Drew Brees. Would you like to see any particular opponent? What would you think about the Bills being that opening week opponent?
No, I love the idea. You know, that's actually I feel like it's a great setup for Buffalo, because you feel like Tampa is still coming off that Super Bowl hangover. Tom Brady, yes, he takes everything seriously, but the rest of that team, they're enjoying it, and they spent the offseason enjoying it, and that might be, I don't say an easy win, but perhaps an easier path to victory in week one than in week 15 or 16. And, no, I love the idea of that. And, you know, anytime you can get the Bills on the national stage and let people see Josh Allen and see Sean McDermott, who I actually went to William Mary with, so I have a soft spot for him, I'm all for that.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. So it's a good article. Read everything. Stop before you get to number one on his ratings, because it is New England. So I'm just read from 32 to 2 and you'll be fine. Just forget about number one. Ryan, thanks for giving us some time on the show this morning. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right. You have a good day.
Anytime.